can have a seat. The message today is going to be coming from the book of John, chapter 3. Everybody ready? Almost? Okay. And it starts off, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, it's quite a few things that stood out to me with this, you know, these few verses. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And when I looked at it, he didn't really ask a question per se. He says, it's really a statement. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's not a question. It's a statement. And I read it over and over again, and I said, you know, what is he asking? What does he want? You ever have somebody come and just make statements and you just think, you're like, what do you want? Like, get to it. Even though Nicodemus didn't really ask a question, he needed an answer. 3 says Jesus answered. Nicodemus didn't ask a question, but Jesus, knowing everything, I get what you're asking, I get where this is going, and let me tell you what you need. You may not know what you need. You may not even know what you want or how to articulate what you want. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Which is kind of weird, because Jesus answered his statement, but I don't even really know what Nicodemus asked. He's talking about miracles, and he says, hey, so evidently, see, there was some discussion, because even though Nicodemus was the spokesperson, he was a leader of the Pharisees, he was a ruler of the Jews, so there had been some discussion, and he says, we know that you're a teacher from God. We know this. So it wasn't just Nicodemus. He was speaking for the Pharisees. He talks about miracles. God has to be with you in order for you to do this stuff. Had he said that to me, I wouldn't really know how to answer that. I would say, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do these miracles through God. That's true. Now, where are we going? What? The only way to figure out what Nicodemus is truly asking is to look at how Jesus answered. Jesus never gives you the wrong answer. Even when you ask for something and you think you want it, he never gives you the wrong answer. He tells you what you really need. Nicodemus, his statement was answered by Jesus expressing a need to be born again. Because if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom. Nicodemus is like a lot of us. Success is a good thing. We form role models. We look up to people. We tend to want to pattern ourselves after certain people. And one day I was in the car, and God was like, man, Eric, and I was looking for answers. I wasn't really praying, but I needed some answers, but I didn't know what to ask. I just kept thinking, man, it's got to be more. You know, I got to do more. I got to be better. And God was like, Eric, am I too easy for you? I watched the game last night, and I talk about Steph Curry a lot. But anyway, just if you don't know, Steph Curry does amazing stuff. And to get to that level of being amazing and people calling him all sorts of adjectives like absurd, what he's doing out there is ridiculous. We don't know whether he's a man or a machine. We have no clue. We've never seen anything like this. But if you read the history and how he got there, now he's amazing. But in order to get there, he didn't do anything amazing. He didn't do anything special. God says that we make things way, way, way too complicated. Way too complicated. Nicodemus says, I gotta be born again. How can I enter again into my mother's womb and come back out? And Jesus, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're making things way too complicated. Amen. Then, and I'm not going to read it, but he says, man, aren't you a master in this law, in the Jewish law? Like, aren't you a teacher? Aren't you in a leadership role? I can't even get my point across to you. You don't understand the spiritual things. I'm trying to tell you natural stuff, and I'm trying to draw parallels to help you, but you're not getting it. When Peter walked on water, before he even got out of the boat, it's a lot of things that you think you may need to do in order to do something so amazing. But when you look at the miracles in the Bible and how amazing they were, a lot of times in order to partake in a miracle or to participate, Jesus never asked you to do anything crazy. It was nothing amazing. When Peter said, man, if that's you, let me come on out there. To my knowledge, no man had ever done that before. And they had never seen Jesus do that before, because they weren't expecting it. You know, they thought it was a ghost and they got afraid because they had never seen him do that. Let alone did they ever think that a mortal man could do that. So when Peter asked if he could come out there, Jesus didn't say, man, you can only do stuff like this with prayer and fasting. It took me 40 days and 40 nights of being in the presence of God before I could do something like you see me doing right now. He didn't have to understand buoyancy or gravity or anything like that. In order to do something amazing, Jesus asked you to do very, very simple things. As crazy as that was, he said, I want to do that. Come on. There is no difficulty in being amazing. Being amazing is doing basic things that other people won't do. That's all to it. When you see Steph out on the court, he practiced for 6 hours and you practice for 1 hour. There is no magic to anything he's doing. He's just doing the things that you won't do. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, man, all you have to do is accept the work that God is doing. Accept me, the Son, being born and dying for you. All he's really saying is, you have to find a way to get my spirit in you. Nicodemus is like, man, you know, I'm watching you do this stuff, and I know that God is with you, and I've been studying the law. I've been doing the rituals. I just want to be as close as you are. And I'm good at what I do. You know, I've studied the traditions, and I've looked at the old way of doing things, and I cherish the special relationship that the Jews had with God in the beginning. And I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm not close as you are. That is what the issue was. And that's why Jesus said, you know what? You aren't different than most people. The kingdom of God entitles you to some benefits. Having the Spirit of God within you entitles you to some benefits. There is a certain lifestyle, there's a certain way of living that occurs or that starts when you're born again spiritually. Amen. You learn to think different. You learn to act different. As you read the Bible and you learn about what you've done when you accepted Christ, you start to change your life. The traditions, basically, I think Nicodemus had come to a boiling point because the rituals and the traditions weren't getting him there. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to succeed, whether it be financially. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants to be happy. And the thing is, Nicodemus is not any different than, you know, anyone else you run across. We all have the same basic needs. Everybody wants to feel like they are in control of their destiny. Nobody wants to be out of control. Nobody wants to be anxious. Nobody wants to have to worry about, you know, how everything is going to get paid from 1 month to the next. And everybody's trying to get there. The problem is, I mean, even when you look at, I thought about Robin Williams the other day, and you have a man at the top of his field, and you have a man that doesn't need any money, you have a man that has a family who loves him, but as it was with Nicodemus, that's just not enough. That doesn't bring you closer to the person you want to be. If your family and your money and your career, see, he was doing what he loved to do. And a lot of times you think that that's it, but you reach a boiling point like Nicodemus. He said, you're doing something different than I'm doing. Evidently, I'm missing it because I have become a master of the law and I have followed it to the letter, but it's not getting me where I want to be. The answer was, you have got to receive the Spirit of God. That is being born again. There is something, and up until recently, I do all my thinking in the car. I can't think a lot at home for some reason. And people say, you know, Eric, you're really, and I've been told this several times, Eric, you know, you're such a positive thinker. You know, you always look on the bright side of things. And I thought that that was a good thing. And I thought that that was the way to be. You know, that's kind of what faith is, if you will. And then, but it recently it started to bother me in a weird way. And then God said, Eric, where is positive thinking in this word? If you flip through all of these pages, and if you can find it, please, you know, by all means tell me if you think that there's a scripture in there that points to being positive or thinking positively, where Christ instructs the disciples to think positively, or, you know, God sent a message to one of the prophets to, you need to think positively. If you can find that, please let me know, because that means the basis of what I'm about to say may be wrong. But being what people equate as being positive and thinking positive, really what God shared with me, he said, no, Eric, you're not thinking positively. You've just made a decision to embrace what you know as being true. It's not about positive or negative. It's about right and wrong. Positive thinking is, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. The truth says that you can. You don't have to think that you can. Positive thinking is, one day I'm going to get a Lamborghini. The truth is, that's nothing to God. If that's what you want, it's not a big deal. All you need to do is accept the keys to it. It's not, I'm going to get my dream home. It's already there. Just because you don't see it, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know what evidence is? If have you ever been to court? You don't have to raise your hand. If you've been to court, evidence is what? What is it? It's always tangible. It's always exhibit A, exhibit B, exhibit C. It's tangible. Faith is the tangible evidence of things not seen, things that you hope for. And when you go to a courtroom, as I've been told, the judge is interested in tangible evidence to support your case. And that's what faith is. If you don't present any tangible evidence, you don't have a case. It's not about, oh, you know, I hope that one day, you know, I want to be somebody. I know that I can do it. No, faith is the real tangible evidence, not some pie in the sky dream that maybe one day, four generations, you know, and it may happen. It's not a vision that you just constantly stare at over and over again. And, well, if I don't do it, maybe my children will do it. Maybe the vision is for my great grands. Maybe it is tangible evidence of things hoped for, things not seen. It's definitely caused me to look at, nowadays I don't even know what being positive is. All I know is what it says in here. And I embrace that as being true and right. That's it. It's not me being positive. It's about me actually reading a scripture and saying, okay, I'm going to apply that. That's for me. I don't know why I said that, but I'm not going to be before you long. I'm about to be finished. If you get anything out of it, out of anything that was said, just like God told me, don't make things hard. They're not hard. If there are some things that maybe, you know, in your own life, just like mine, I am looking forward to some very large things. And they are things that on my own I cannot do. That's how big they are. It's not buying a car or paying a bill, you know, I can handle that. But if you, like me, have some things in your own life, whether it's paying for continuing your education, looking for the resources for, you know, a new vehicle, or maybe you're saving for a home, be very careful in how you approach that situation. Apply the basics. Don't overcomplicate it, because if you look at it as a whole and you just keep looking at the finished product on your vision board, that's frustrating. God is calling us to do the very, very basic things. And I believe that he always talks about this body and how we're going to do some really special things, whether it be in Richmond, whether it be in the world. And it's a special place, this church, and it's composed of a bunch of special people that if you talk to any of them individually, you may find that they're doing some really amazing things. And that is what God would want for all of us. But we can't overcomplicate it, because it's nothing to it. If it's too complicated, then it's probably wrong. If God says, if you can't understand a teaching, then something is not right. It should be easy enough for my kids to understand. If you talk to someone who really, really knows what they're talking about, they make it seem very, very simple. Because it is. There's nothing complicated about it. He said, the yoke that I have is easy. Now, you may face some challenges in life, but even when you look at the physical storms that they went through in the Bible, God never told them anything complicated to get through those storms. He said, well, when the disciples had the storm to come up, he said, man, well, what's going on? I don't understand. You know, they were scared. They were afraid. They didn't think they were going to make it, because being in a storm is a rough thing. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing rosy about wind and water brushing up against a boat, threatening to capsize it and imminent death. There's nothing rosy about that. But God didn't do anything crazy. It was nothing. There was no complicated solution. And I don't care what it is or how rough it may seem, the solution is extremely easy. Now, you might have to weather the storm. Some things you just got to outlast. God isn't calling you to do anything crazy. You don't have to climb to the top of a mountain and have a worship experience for 40 days. Some things you just got to outlast it. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this day.